Nick Wallenda is a seventh generation high wire artist. Recently, over 13 million people tuned in to watch him complete yet another successful death-defying high wire walk. This one over a portion of the Grand Canyon. In 2012, he became the first person ever to do the tightrope over Niagara Falls. I have to say, I didn't see either one, but having been to Niagara Falls many times with our young people, we used to stop when we'd go from Pontiac through. Your glasses get wet. Let me see here. I'm rubbing, Brother Stephen. Where am I? Oh, no wonder. Am I even hooked up? I'm stuck in the pocket here. I am. I'm stuck in my pocket. Amen. Wondering what was going on there. Amen. I know this. Your glasses fog up 2 blocks away. And so, boy, I'm having trouble tonight. Amen. There it goes. Stay. Good boy. Amen. Can you hear me now? Thank you. Amen. I was thinking about that, and he was. I just looked at a little bit of information on him. He said that the Niagara Falls one was infinitely harder because of the water on the wire, the steam, the mist would get on the wire. And so you think about that, and you think about him doing those things. And he's actually, and I had no idea when I began to prepare this series of who he was, Nick Wallenda. And he's written a new book entitled Balance, The Story of Faith, Family, and Life on the Line. I've not read the book. However, I would tell you this. It's plain to see that Mr. Wallenda would advocate the need for and the importance of balance, not only in his life, but also in the life of every believer. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be balanced Christians. Balanced. The context of our passage today, we look at Job, and we look this morning in the first two chapters, you have the assaults of Satan. And we certainly don't need to re-preach this morning's message except to say that they were terrible. Satan's assaults were terrible. By the way, you may not lose 10 children, or you may not lose your health, and you may not lose all your finances, but I'm going to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, the assaults of Satan are still terrible. They're still terrible. Many times they're emotional. Many times, we were talking in men's prayer, and I'm so glad for men that are cognizant of these things. Many times it's a simple matter of discouragement. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's why you always ought to be careful what you say to somebody. Why don't you use your words to lift somebody else up? Lift them up, not tear them down. Amen. To say, as the writer of the Proverbs said, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. But here we have the assaults of Satan. And then for the next 34 chapters, we have Job's debates with his friends. With his friends. In chapter 38 through 41... God, if we could say, has heard enough. And now it's His turn to speak. And He asks Job 82 straight rhetorical questions. You say, what's a rhetorical question, Pastor? It's a question that answers itself. God says to him, where were you when I made the earth? I don't recall checking with you when I hung the stars. And He really shows him who He is and who God is. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not the buddy that the contemporary church portrays Him to be. He's almighty, all-powerful, all-holy, all-just God. And it's time we treat Him that way. So He takes care of the debate. He ends it. He gives a final answer to Job. And in Job chapter 42, the first 6 verses, Job repents. And he says, forgive me. I'm a man undone. Then in the last 10 verses of Job 42, we see the deliverance of Job and for his friends. It's an interesting verse. Look at it there in Job chapter 42 on your own time, where it says that God delivered Job when he prayed for his friends. There's a lot to be said there. Chapter 31 is his final protest of sins of which he is innocent. And he says in verse number 6, as he's pleading his innocence in particular sins, he says, "Let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity." Proverbs 20:23 says, "A false balance is not good." We've entitled our message tonight, "The Key to Balance." I think it's a good starter message for this series. I want you to notice, number one, if you could, again, just by way of starting this series, and we'll touch on these subjects again, but I want you to notice, first of all, number one, if you keep an outline, the pressures of life. The pressures. There are basically four areas of our life. I'm talking about really compartmentalizing, okay? And they're in no particular order except for the first one. God. Our relationship with Him. Our time each day in His Word and in prayer. Our seeking to reach out in ways to the lost. Amen. Our seeking to edify believers in Christ. That all has to do with the pressure of our relationship with God. But then there's not only the pressure of God, there's the pressure of family. And by the way, that's not a negative, amen, talking about pressure. The pressure of family. There's time with your family, and all God's people said. There's a home that needs fixing up. There's lawn that needs to be cut. Think about things like that with your family. There's fun time with your family. There's building relationships with your family. But there's a third pressure. And again, we will deal with all of these again. There's the pressure of work to provide for your own family. After the fall, God demanded that man till the ground in the sweat of his brow. Matter of fact, he said later in 2 Thessalonians 3:10 that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And then in 1 Timothy 5:8, the Bible says, if a man provide not for his own house, he's worse than an infidel. So God commands this pressure of work and the pressure of family and the pressure of God. But then there's the pressure for ourselves. And I mean, each one of us is responsible to take care of himself. And I know many times that goes last if you're a mom or a dad or a grandparent. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're stewards of this temple. Amen? That's a pressure. It's a responsibility. The Bible talks about in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, talking about stony soil. It says, the thorny soil rather, these are they which are among thorns, such as hear the words, and the cares of this world choke the word, that it become unfruitful. Each one of these pressure areas, God, family, work, ourselves, leads to our next point, and that's problems. What are some problems in this key to balance? Where God says a false balance is not good. Well, first of all, we have, number one, there's the enemy. The Bible says, and when Jesus gave the parable of the wheat and the tares, he said an enemy have come and sowed tares. And then later when he explained the parable, he told them who the enemy was. The enemy is the devil. And you know what, Brother Jeff? He wants us out of balance. And listen, those pressure areas of life, they're all good things. God, family, work, ourselves, they're all good things. But you know what? He wants us out of balance. He wants us to only focus on ourselves. Then we'll be out of balance with God, our family, and our work. He wants us to only focus on work. So we're out of balance with God, our family, ourselves. He wants us to only focus on our family. And we're out of balance with God. I'd say this, folks. He wants us to only focus on God. Well, I've only got time for God. I just can't get out and work and take care of my family. Come on now. He wants us out of balance in these areas. So there's not only the pressures, there's the problem. The first one is we have the enemy. The second one, could I give you this one? Not only the enemy, but the clock. Every time I preach, that clock is my enemy. Amen. Miss Hazel. What do you mean about that, Pastor? Listen, there's only 24 hours in the day. I know I've heard people say, oh, I wish I could get 25 hours. Oh, you wouldn't have time then either. There's the clock, amen? This problem in balance. There's not only the enemy, there's the clock. Can I give you another problem in the area of balance? The old... The bank book. The bank book. There's only so much month and money, and sometimes there's too much month at the end of the money. Amen? Listen, that's a problem in life. It can be a problem. The enemy, the clock, the bank book. Can I give you another one? The flesh. The flesh. Listen, Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank my God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, with my mind I serve the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. The flesh profiteth nothing, Paul said. It's a problem for balance, our flesh. You know what? No matter how many years we're saved, no matter how sanctified we get, no matter how many times we read our Bible through, the flesh still wants to do what it wants to do. And it's a problem for balance. So there's the enemy. There's the clock. There's the bank book. There's the flesh. Can I give you another problem in balance? The burdens of life. The burdens. I don't know anybody that has a sick child that said, Lord, give me a sick child. Debilitated spouse. A divorce that wasn't your fault. By the way, those do happen, folks. Don't be proud and stick your nose in the air. Well, that just doesn't... Yes, it does. Especially in this age that we live in the age of no-fault divorce. You don't even need cause anymore. The burdens of life. Sometimes I think about financial debt and what that can do to you. It can throw you out of balance. It's just part of the burdens of life. Your own health can fail you, as we saw this morning, like that. These are problems for balance. So there's not only the pressures, there's the problems, but let me give you the principles. The principles. Where can we seek after God to know Him? The Bible says this in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Where do we seek after God? Well, primarily, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We put our nose in this book. And we seek after God. Let me just give you three statements about the principles. Life is to be lived by principle. If you want to have balance, you're going to have to live your life by principle. I know we're going to look at it later in this series, but you know, the Bible says this, when Daniel was taken by the Chaldeans and he came into chapter 1, verse 8, and they wanted to give him the best of the king's meat. Listen, he was already living by principle when the Bible says that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Living by principle is being proactive. There's a big difference between being proactive and reactive. Do you know when you discipline your children, parents, you're to be proactive. The problem is a lot of parents discipline in anger and they're reactive. So life is to be lived by principle, proactively. Second under the principles, life is not only to be lived by principle, life must not be lived according to pressure. Because you know what you're doing? You're reacting to that pressure and to the next pressure and to the next pressure and to the next pressure. And eventually, pressure is going to push you over the edge. That's a reactive life. Can I say this too? Thirdly, under the principles, life is to be lived by principle. Life must not be lived by pressure. Life must not be lived by the progressions of society. Listen, may we ever care what this book says rather than what the community at large says. Because there's going to come a place. There's going to come a time, and I believe it's going to be soon. Some of you sweet seniors are going to pass off the scene before you see it. But there's going to come a time where we are going to suffer persecution for this book. It's not happening yet, but it's coming close. We don't live according to the progressions of society. I could care less about styles. I still think a woman ought to dress modest. I could care less if at City Hall they start marrying two women or two men. We're going to marry a man and a woman. Amen. I could care less whether every church starts having rock and roll. We're not having it. Amen. Why? Because life is not to be lived by the progressions of society. It's to be lived by principle. Amen. So the pressures, the problems, the principles. Let me give you, lastly, the key to balance, and that's the purpose. Kind of the thrust of the message, and it moves us into it. We have Gary here next week, and then one more message, and then Brother Mitchell will be here for the Friend Day Carnival. So we'll really get into this once more, and then to the end of July. But the purpose. Go to Psalms chapter 29. Psalms chapter 29. The key to balance is found in this verse, Psalm chapter 29. Look at verse number 1, please. It kind of moves us into the... By the way, you ought to take your pen, go through verses 3 through 9, and look up the voice of the Lord. It's amazing. It's a great, great little study there. It says in verse 1, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength." Verse 2 is the verse. "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name, and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." What's the purpose, Pastor? What is the key to balance? God created you and I in His image. Amen, church? We didn't evolve from a tadpole billions of years ago. It's better than that. God reached down, picked up some dirt, and made us. How about that? Amen? It's a better story. He wants us to fulfill our purpose. You say, "Pastor, what is my purpose?" Your purpose and my purpose, the key to balance, is that we would bring glory to God. That is the reason He created us. You can read Revelation 4:11. It talks about how all things were created for His pleasure. He wants us to bring Him glory. If you have that as the center of your life, you're on your way to balance. See, the problem is when we live by pressure, Brother Jim, we're not concerned with bringing God glory. We're concerned with the next pressure. Do you know you can be in a horrible situation and bring God glory? I've seen it. I've watched people. I respect people more today than I ever did watching them go through a terrible situation. But it's about what's the purpose to bring glory to God. That's the key to balance. It's the key to balance. Because once you get the center straight, taught us that in aerospace, Brother Tom. Once you get the middle balanced, The ends will take care of itself. Once you get the hub balanced, it's no problem to balance the spokes. The hub's got to be in balance. Once you get the hub balanced, no problem to balance the rim. Because the middle is all set. Ladies and gentlemen, that we would fulfill our purpose, bring glory to God. Read John chapter 15. It said, I have not, it talks about, I've ordained you that you should go and you should bring forth fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bring forth much fruit. That you and I would be concerned about our purpose, bringing glory to God. If we do that, we'll start to get into balance. We'll take those four pressure areas of God, family, home, and ourselves, and we'll put them in their proper priority place. We're going to talk about that a lot. Prioritization and principle. The key to balance, fulfilling our purpose to bring glory to God. Father, thank you.